Welcome to the G&JB show. We're in December. Jack Bowen, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. We've had a busy few weeks. We haven't been on the podcast, but mate, what are you looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah, Chris is going to be good. I think Mum might be going down to Melbourne, so it'll just be me, Dad, and Smell. So,
who's going to be Santa?
Probably Jono. He's got the size for it, the big fella. Not so much me, but actually, maybe come Christmas, I might have a little Santa belly. You never know, mate.
You usually do it Christmas, so
I'm usually not far off.
Yeah, mate, you just had a fight not long ago. We haven't really had a chance to talk about that. We'll start with that. Jack Bowen versus Ryan Heck at the Mansfield Tavern on the Ace Boxing Promotions show.
Yeah.
How was that, mate? What was your – let's talk about it, the prep, the sparring partners, everything you did. How did it go to plan?
Yeah, well, everything – well, as you know, in camp, not everything went to plan. I had a few little problems with my hands leading up to the fight, and luckily Steve Andrews, the doctor down at Brisbane Private Hospital, we have a really good relationship with him and Sally, and obviously I trained Zach and Ben. They're two young fellas who are doing really well. They looked after my hand, and we just managed it all the way up into fight night. I think I only sparred, like, in the last 6 weeks, I only sparred twice, so that was something we just had to nurse, and yeah, I think it was that last week. A few of the boys from the gym helped out, Justin and couple of the other lads. Justin did well, actually. He was strong southpaw, kind of similar to what Heck was.
Yeah,
so,
southpaw, similar size too.
Yeah, so that worked out really well. But I don't know, it was all learning experience, and now I'm just using the time off to rest my hand. And yeah,
what did you take out of the fight? What did you know? You get lessons all along. Like, did you get any life lessons, or did you get any? Did you learn anything boxing-wise from that fight? Because you land a peach of a punch at about a minute and a half in. It was about that, about a minute and a half in, just over. Crack right hand straight on the chin. You can see the fight on YouTube or wherever it is. It was a cracking shot. What sort of experience did you get from the fight?
Heck was so cagey so early. As far as the actual, I'll come back to the fight, but having to sell the handheld tickets, like,
oh, you haven't
hard
done that
copy,
before, have
I've
you?
Never done that, so that was good, and it was good to have. Well, I've only been on shows you've been on, so it was good to have you just completely not stressed.
Yeah,
because I know I stressed a couple of times about just making sure, because you're on someone else's card, and Angelo's done me a favor to get me on.
Yeah,
I want to make sure I sell.
Yeah,
so, I was stressed at times throughout the stage, and obviously you're going to sell the tickets, but it's just that last week when you're cutting the weight. And
the hardest people is when people say, oh yeah, I'll get my tickets. And then 2 days before or the day before, everyone's ringing you. Oh, sorry to bother you, mate, but can I drop this off?
And you're like, 100%. But you appreciate any support you can get. And I think I'm at that stage in my temperament about it too. Like, I don't get too angry, where early on I was like, oh fuck, couldn't you have done this 2 weeks ago? But I just appreciate the support, and it's good having the gym there, and Tony down the front desk helped a lot
in pushing
the tickets. So, excuse me, and obviously Sarah and Ryan and close people and Dad all helped push some tickets as well. So they took a little bit of the stress off me, and I got to do what I wanted to do. Then coming to fight night, it was good. I loved being at Mansfield. That was
was on your list of things to do.
Yeah, I remember looking at you before we went out. I said something along the lines of, "This is what it's about," because I could feel the energy of the crowd. I could see the people at the tables, and you know, I believe I bring something special to the game, and I think people in the crowd, there's a bit of hype and a bit of buzz about my name, and I got to show them what it's all about.
It was great when the song started playing and everyone was into it, like singing the song. And like you said, I think you said to Rob from before the fight, afterwards, you said it's just what people are starting to sing and know what's coming on now.
Mm. Yeah, Rob said, I don't know, something about what you feel and when that happens. And yeah, I feel a buzz.
Yeah, it's good.
Especially when you can hear it like that because it was enclosed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to the walkout and there was a few of us walking out there, and obviously you had Kurt in the dressing room as well, which he obviously adds a few things to your warm up, or use the bands. You just do a few different things to what other people don't do. But how does that all make you feel? It just means like it's time, like it's ready to switch on.
Yeah, I feel like there's a time where I feel like I'm myself, and then this one sounds stupid, but like even when my partner Sarah came in. Like early on when I was getting my hands wrapped, and I'm all pretty relaxed and talking. And then I think when she came back, that's when we started doing pads and I had my gloves on, and it's a completely different person, completely different focus. And it's because everything's on the line now.
Yeah, you turn to Jack Bowen, the boxer then.
Yeah. It's like you go from Jack Bowen to the person you have to be to make this fight happen. And that confidence, a bit of arrogance, and yeah, all the things that make me what I want to be, like that all comes together in probably 20 minutes and it flicks. And I don't know, like it sounds stupid, but unless you've been there and you've done it and you understand the experience, and I think I'm old enough and mature enough now where I can really reflect on the feelings and emotions I feel. And having you there and saying to me, because I get quite nervous, and then you say, yeah, but nerves make you good, nerves make you sharp. It's just how you use these nerves.
Exactly. You just got to make those nerves work for you, like realize them. Everyone gets them. If you accept them and realize it's going to make you better and sharper and stronger, you can deal with it. Some people go the other way and it makes them crumble. They can't perform. They're brilliant sparring in the ring, but they can't perform on fight night because the nerves or whatever it is gets the better of them.
I was listening to this thing. Customato was talking. It was like a little mini doco on him, right? And he was with Mike Tyson, and he said the difference between the hero and the coward is the hero knows how to manage his fear, but the coward just caves in and it overtakes them. But the hero is able to use that fear to make them better, to make them sharper, and to achieve what they want to achieve. And it triggered me back to that moment in the rooms, because I was like, that's exactly how I felt. But it makes me so much better.
It does. It's whether you call it fear or nerves or whatever, anybody, it's all the same thing. It's a feeling that you can either handle or you can't. You've got to make it the best for you. And look, the greats make it work for them, those nerves. The people that haven't got so high, they probably crumble under pressure.
But also in saying that, I think you need to feel these emotions and understand how to handle them that at a lower level. So then when you do make it, when you do fight at the MGM Grand, or you do fight at the O2 in London, you've gone through this experience plenty of times, and the fact that there's 800 people or 80,000 people doesn't matter.
Yeah, as long as you can.
Like, let's move on to George. Look how George started doing the local clubs like I'm doing.
Yeah.
George started doing local shows, selling his own tickets. I heard all the stories now. Now he's come out and talked about it. But he did everything we've done. It's just he's slowly built to the stage. So he fought at MSG. And there was
he
rose to the occasion. Yep. If you had done that to him when he was 10 fights in, do you think he would have done as well? Would he have been able to handle the nerves and the pressure?
So George Kambosos just beat, obviously, Teofimo Lopez. You know what? There wasn't many people that would have said George was going to win. But every time you watch a press conference or anything, George was 100% convinced in his mind that there was no way Lopez was going to beat him. And you know what? That undying belief that he had got him through the fight. And just shows you the strength of self-belief. You look at Jeff Horn, the one thing he had against Manny Pacquiao was self-belief, because nobody backed him either. That's two Aussies that have rose to the very, very top. And it was all through self-belief. Obviously, they've got talent.
And but you know what?
Neither of those two boys are the most gifted athletes you'll ever meet.
I think
they're not superstars.
Both of them won Superman, as well on conditioning.
Mm.
George is so fit. And Jeff, at that stage in his career, I don't think anyone would have outworked him.
That night, no one was beating him anyway.
Mm. And they both got hit with good shots, like Jeff in the ninth and George in the tenth. They both had moments of adversity where they had to come back and win the next couple of rounds. But they both – well, I thought I had Jeff winning. I know a lot of Americans don't agree with that, but I had Jeff winning and I had George up by a couple of rounds as well.
Yeah, I had them both winning, yeah. I remember being sat there when Jeff Horn won about a few metres from the ring, just going to Chris McCullen going, fuck, he's going to win. he's going to win.
I watched it at home. I can't say I've felt like that about many fights. Yeah. It's because you know them personally. Yeah. Then the Fury Wilder fight, I felt the same way.
Yeah.
Just because I'm so invested in Fury.
How about this time when George knocked Lopez down in the first round? Mate, I think every Australian was jumping off their seats. I was up in the lounge room going, holy shit.
Yeah.
He's dropped him.
I was on the golf course, to be fair, with my best mate Gabe. We were playing golf. We weren't going to give up. Timer. No, well, we timed it pretty shit, and we booked in the week out from actually knowing what time the fight would be on.
Yeah,
and we had it. I don't know. The groups around us wouldn't have been too happy, but we had it on full blast on his phone, just sitting in the cart watching it in between our shots. So, like when he got knocked down, I was having a putt, and I heard it, and I ran back to the cart, missed my putt, and then I had to stand there another 10, 15 seconds watching that. And then people are wanting to tee off behind us. I'm like, oh, well, this is just how it's going to be, boys, for the day. But that was unreal. And
what a rise to start him. Like, he's just, as soon as he finished the fight, he's been constant media full on till
now. He's done it perfect.
Mm.
He's an ultimate professional.
Oh, he is. Like, you've listened to his podcast with Joe Rogan.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm only halfway through it. I have listened to it. It's very good. Like but since knowing him, since he's been young, it's like, yeah, he's always believed that's who he is.
Mm. Well, I've never met him. I don't know him well. I just know of what I've seen. So look, even going back, I doubted him against Ogilvy. This was years ago. But I probably followed Ogilvy's career a lot closer than I did George's, so I was more invested.
Bella as well.
Yeah, and he was mates with Hooper, so I was like, I'll go for Hooper's mate, and he beat him. And ever since then, I've been, I think I've been taken aback by just how hard he works, and he's very dedicated to the game. Leaves his wife and kid at home and goes over to America, and like that wouldn't be cheap for him doing things like that.
Well, he spent months in camp with Manny Pacquiao on a couple of occasions. He said he's done about 250 rounds with Manny Pacquiao, and
who better to learn off, eh?
Mate, what a huge night for him. What a performance. And mate, what do you think he does next?
I think he fights over here. He was talking to Joe, if you get further in the podcast, about fighting at Marvel Stadium down in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So that's the one with the enclosed roof, and so they have all the AFL games.
Nothing in New South Wales for him? Why hasn't that been mentioned?
He said Melbourne because Melbourne, outside of Athens, has the highest Greek population of Greeks.
Hmm.
And they'll buy a ticket to him. They'll watch that.
Oh, yeah.
And Melbourne is a city that embraces sport.
See, I see. Who do you see him fighting?
Haney.
I don't know. First defense.
Okay. I think it's easy to be done. Haney's with DAZN.
Yep.
Haney's with Matchroom.
Yep.
Well, is he? I don't know if he's with Matchroom, but he works with Eddie. Haney.
Haney is.
Is he signed?
Haney's, well, or as far as or I'm he, concerned, yeah, yeah. He's, with
he's got a good relationship with Eddie.
Yeah.
George has had a couple fights under Eddie now too, like Lee Selby fight, this last fight. He knows he's going to get paid. He's pretty loyal to people. I don't know.
Match room are coming to Australia too.
That's what I mean. I think it's
and they'll headline with they can headline now with George Kambosos, you know. So
that's what I think. I think he'll invest in
He's actually promoted by Lou DiBella. George Kambosos.
Yeah, they would have been over the moon. I think he fights Haney over here, and that he'll fight for the WBC as well.
So this I possibly because they fought close to each other, right? They fought close to each other.
And he's got the WBC world title.
Yeah.
George has the WBC franchise belt.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that all fucking works.
I don't know. Just it's all about more sanctioning fees.
Yeah.
Haney makes sense because it's easy to be done. He's got the other belt, the real undisputed champion. I think he deserves a voluntary defense.
I don't think he wants to.
I know, but it makes financial sense if he does. So he fights an Aussie, top 15 ranked.
Like
the place
who?
Will pack
who?
Who's in the top 15 in Jacob NG. He's top 15.
Does he fight Jacob?
That's what I think he does. Like offer another Aussie a big fight. It'll still sell out.
I don't know.
And then you go and fight the winner of that, then fights on Haney. Saying that they did fight at the same time frame for a reason.
Jacob would be awkward for him, eh?
Yeah. Well, Jacob, so
that's
would go
what I mean.
Fight.
That's what I mean. Would you risk that? You'd probably rather fight.
You imagine. No, you'll still get paid the same. You'll still get paid big. He's the
Brock
undisputed
Jarvis.
Champion.
Brock Jarvis.
Oh, Brock, yeah, Brock Jarvis. Well, how easy is that to make his match room as well? Brock Jarvis, Jacob NG, they both said they want it.
I think he just goes for a big name. Bring him over here.
That was an error. That was the error that.
But I think that's what he's
that Robbie Peter made too. Robbie Peter made the won the world title against Nate Campbell, come back to Australia, first defense against Marco Antonio Barrera, lost it. So didn't even earn any money while he was champion. Or one payday.
No disrespect, but George is, I think he's very good business wise. I can't see him making mistakes. I don't know if it'll be Davis. Because I don't think Davis will travel. I don't think Davis will come here.
So who are you?
I reckon it's Haney. And I think Lomachenko is too big a risk.
Well, he doesn't have a belt, so there's no.
He's fighting this weekend, but
there's no point in losing to Lomachenko.
And it won't be Ryan Garcia. It won't be Ryan Garcia because I don't think.
See,
he's in the mix with him.
Ryan Garcia would make sense in Australia.
Yeah.
Because of the publicity that he brings.
And there's kids in the schools that we go to that know Garcia.
Yeah, because of his TikTok.
TikTok, yeah, and Insta.
I just think he needs a defense. He might not. Well, he might. Well, he doesn't need one. Obviously, he doesn't need one. He's in the mix now for these big fights.
I think he goes Haney, and then I reckon... Well, I don't know what he does from there. Lomachenko is probably still, for me, the biggest risk there. I think Loma beats Haney.
Yeah,
he's just the only thing is he's the smallest in the division.
Haney.
Loma.
Oh, Lomachenko, yeah.
No, Haney's big. Anyway, it's
interesting
exciting anyway.
And Matchroom is supposed to be coming over here, as we've seen many a times on the IFL TV, that Eddie was going to come here before COVID anyway, Matchroom. So now he can come over, he can launch and kickstart Matchroom Australia with a world champion like George Kambosos.
Yeah, well.
And he's already signed
Jarvis.
Yeah, Brock Jarvis.
And Bridges and there's a few.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Interesting.
But how about, let's just quickly touch on this. How about that overhand right that he hit him with?
The best.
He must have watched me versus Ryan Heck a few weeks before.
Probably.
And he thought, how do I land that?
Like, learn to be, I'll watch Bowen.
Yeah, but Lopez got back up.
So did Ryan.
Yeah, he did. He just didn't look that great. But,
a little wobbly.
Man.
Mate.
Good shot.
Lopez is such a cock.
You know, he's what?
Old man. He's such a cock. Yeah, old man's such a cock.
He's old man is a twat.
Mate.
He is a dick.
You know,
but
everybody talks about the instructions. Look, we just hear a small bit. But he never talks sense. Whether he's doing interviews or anything. He's, you know, Teofimo Lopez, I watched an interview with a podcast with him and David Diamante, right? In the hotel room. You know, the ring announcer. Lopez sounded smart, actually. He sounded very educated.
Has he got the shittest boxing haircut in boxing, that bloke, but?
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like he's got a beehive on his head.
Oh, that is the, it's not a haircut.
He's actually good at what he does. He's really good at the haircut. He's good at the announcing, but he needs some conditioner. That's fucking woeful.
Imagine being his missus, laying in bed with him next, and the hair's like taking up half of the bed. Anyway.
He wouldn't need a pillow.
Lopez sounded smart.
No, I like Lopez. I do. But
his dad is such a dick.
Mm. But I don't know. I think they all buy into their own hype. You see it time and time again. I reckon they were talking about Josh Taylor. They were talking about Tank. They were talking about all these big fights. But you've got to beat George.
Actually, no. Lopez is a bit of a dick as well, Teofimo. Because I heard him really speak really well in that interview, right? After the fight, when he came up and said, I won that fight.
But I reckon he was concussed.
What a cock.
I don't think you can interview fighters when they've just been dropped like that.
That was 9 rounds on, didn't you?
Yeah,
George,
but he's still been punching
George,
the face.
George had only just been punched, dropped it two rounds ago.
Yeah, but George is 27, 28. Lopez is like 22. He's a kid.
I just... yeah.
His dad is not on this planet.
He just doesn't talk sense.
Mm. But can you imagine your whole life someone telling you how good you are, right? Mm. Every chance they can get, and then you lose, and he's giving you advice in the corner that you're winning, you wouldn't want to believe it.
Yeah, he
they can't accept that defeat.
He's just like a backslapper and everything. But when what I was saying about Lopez, when he come and he spoke, oh, I didn't get beaten. I did. How can I have lost that fight, right? Teofimo, what he said to him. How did I lose that fight? And he said, I won that fight, you know, in the interview. That has helped George Kambosos' profile so much by him being negative to George, because everybody, you're talking Terence Crawford, you're talking Josh Taylor, you're talking everybody, has gone, what a fuckwit.
Mm. Josh Taylor's so funny.
Everybody's come out and just hammering Lopez, and George has just come out smelling of roses, but he deserves it, mate, and everyone.
I watched an IFL TV on they were interviewing Josh
about
the Lopez fight, because he's fighting that Jack Cattrall.
Oh, he is too, yeah.
Right, so they're talking about Jack and whatever. They just had the press conference, and he said, oh, what do you think about Teofimo losing? He's like, he's a dickhead. I'm glad he lost.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, move on. But you can't look past what you got in front of you.
No.
Ever. Mate. And you see it way too much in boxing.
No, how many times were they talking about Lopez and Haney or Lopez and Lomachenko or everything? George's name not even mentioned. In the meantime, Jack's just head, George's head down, go for it. Kambosos didn't get bought into all that bullshit either.
Mm. He's put himself in a good position now, and we'll just see what the future holds. But it's good for our country.
Do you know how Triller won the purse bid?
Yeah.
I just wonder what happens here, and I'm unsure of this. Does the second bidder, which was Hearn, Matchroom, do they now have to go in at their own bid, or do they have to take over Triller's bid?
No, they went in at their own bid.
So whatever it was, do you know what it was?
Yeah, George said on the Joe Rogan podcast, he said, I was getting 2.4 for the Triller purse bid, and then when it went back to purse bid, it was 1.3.
Okay.
With Matchroom.
Yeah.
But what I think happened, this wasn't mentioned, but I think you have to put like a deposit down on the purse.
Jeez, that's a $1 million difference.
I know.
Fuck.
But you'd just want the fight, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't
now he can name his price.
Yeah, I know.
3 belts.
Mm. And the fight was that good that you know you're going to get your money's worth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Everyone wants to see him now.
Where I don't think Triller had that yet. They didn't have the profile for them both. But, yeah, anyway, I think they had to pay a deposit on the purse bid. So then the fighters got to keep that for their expenses in training camp or whatever.
Generally, that's what happens,
So that would have worked out okay. Because what, 2.4, you get 20% of it, or it still works out. It probably only just covered his training expenses, but yeah.
Mate, another big fight. There was a couple of Kraken fights last week. What about Bam Bam and Floyd Mason?
Holy shit. That was a good fight. I think I watched it twice. So I watched it that night because I went from the... I was hopefully going to watch Terra Moana, but fuck, my parking in the city would have ended up $300 if I stayed the whole night. So that ginned me around. Yeah. But so I went home because I wanted to watch that fight. That and I wanted to watch Best and Woods because that was a good card. So I went home, sat down, I caught the back end of Woods and Tyson Best, and I really like Tyson. We've sparred with him a couple of times. Top bloke, good gym. Steve NG's always been really good to us. So it was unfortunate he lost, but who better to lose to than Luke?
He is a good bloke.
And you know, him winning that looked like that was his world title for him. And
just,
it's good.
Just happy Luke's had a couple of good wins.
Mm. And he's had a couple tight losses too. So, good on him. He went the full 10 and won the decision. Although I only caught the back end of it, but it did look like he was winning from that last little bit.
What about the Bam Bam Masson fight?
I watched it that night and I thought that was a cracker. And I thought, but I need to go back and watch it tomorrow because I want to actually sit down and watch it.
Pick it apart.
And I watched a lot of the things Mark was doing. Not saying Floyd wasn't doing it, but just little things, experience things. And you could see if he got hurt or he got wobbled, and he just knew how to recover and he'd hold and he'd take centering and just doing little crafty things. And I really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
Aside from the back and forth, they both went for it.
Both went down.
Floyd went down early too.
First round, wasn't it?
And it looked like a big punch.
Mm.
But credit to his fitness. He got up and they were both fucking fit.
Yeah. And that body shot.
Mm. That was a cracker too.
Oh, that was a
cracker.
Beautiful left sort of uppercutty.
You could hear it too.
Straight to the mate.
Yeah. And as the southpaw too, you got to really get around for that. So he placed it well and landed the shot. And those Zapier too, you would have felt that still going into the 10th.
Oh, yeah.
But the boys, they were able to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 punches in a row. Boom, 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 boom.
Because none of them had much backward movement.
They weren't taking a step back.
It was always
back.
A great fight.
Similar,
what about the Django Lucas Brown fight? Did you get to see that?
Yes, so I got home and watched that.
That was interesting. That was a good fight. I like to watch that too. I like to watch how you can learn a lot that professional boxing is so different to amateur boxing. Not that Django boxed like an amateur, but I'm not saying that at all. But what I mean is Lucas lost the first six rounds. Six rounds? What round was the stoppage in?
Five or six. I think he might have stopped him in the seventh.
Yeah, say seventh. 5 rounds, he was struggling. 6, towards the end of the 5th, he come along. And then the 6, he'd owned that round. And then the next, I think it was the 7th round, he got stopped in. But just shows you that, Lucas is heavy hands, man. Django was hitting. Django hit him with everything too.
So Django's someone, if he gets hit solid too, he's still okay somehow. Yeah. I really don't know how, but he can cop a big shot and still he's still there. And I'm like, holy shit. Are you still standing, man?
Yeah. And then when he
went. Because he's so I don't know. Obviously he's got a good chin, but I think it's because he's so staunch and solid in his stance that when he gets hit, he's It's like a rugby player, you know, shot. Players are in
strong legs, yeah, he's sitting strong. His ass down.
Good fight to watch.
Forgetting who it is, Django and Lucas, I just love watching how the story, how it unraveled, how the tide turned when, you know what I mean?
Towards
like
the end,
survive, yeah. Get through it early, and just Lucas. I'd say Django's a better boxer than him. But once you've got world-class power, man.
It's a difference.
And you start closing that gap. It was good. But, mate, what an amazing fight. And I hope Django comes back from that because he's a good man too. He's Django.
Mm.
Lucas had his losses too. He's had a few heavy losses. So he'll understand exactly how Django feels. But that's the way it goes.
I didn't think Lucas was going to lose. I tipped him to win.
Mm.
Only because I think if he had a loss that would have really put the nail in the coffin.
He actually looked good on the scales too. He looked better than I've seen him for a while.
Yeah, because I reckon after this, he'll get a couple more paydays overseas and this would have stopped him doing that.
Yeah.
And I thought, and then he looked at the weigh and he looked good. He looks big too. And I thought, I don't reckon he's going to lose this. Obviously, I don't put any money on it because I've got none. But
Yeah.
I mean, I was backing him, but I wasn't that. I wasn't that. Because Django still took all those rounds, right. I thought. Yeah. So.
What about Miles Zalowski, Dana Coolwell? Dana was flawless.
So I left about five rounds into that, got rushed home, and then I got told he got knocked out, and I was like, holy shit, really? Because I couldn't see it going that way. I thought Dana was going to be...
You're talking before the fight or as the fight was going
As it was progressing. Look, after the first round, I was like, oh, this kid's on tonight. Can just watch someone and you know they're
it's
on.
It's their moment.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. I thought that was going to be a closer fight than a lot of people thought. Yeah. Because a lot of people that are in the know, Dana will outbox him.
Would you have given Miles... would you give him Dunner most of the rounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was disappointed when he lost to Jake Wiley.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like Jake as well. I wasn't, I just wanted to, it was a hard fight to watch for me because I didn't want either of them to lose.
Yeah.
Great fight to watch if I wasn't invested that way. But I was so happy for him to come back and win. That's a good win, and not many people you can stand there and watch and go, he's not going to get touched tonight.
I'll tell you what. Because
he looked like that from the first.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked good. I'll tell you what, credit to Miles. We're in the dressing room after. Miles come in for a chat with Dana. Good on him for doing that. And they had a bit of a conversation, talk about the fight, and then Miles just goes, well, last night it was the hardest hitting super featherweight. Tonight of the hardest falling super featherweight.
Shit.
Credit to him for owning it, though. No, that's what I mean. Credit to him for owning it, because at the weigh-in the night before, he ripped he had his shirt off and he goes, I'm the hardest hitting super featherweight in the country or whatever.
And you should feel that way. At weigh-in, you should feel a bit G'd up. You're about to go punch someone in the face. Yeah. But obviously, Donald's too good. He looks good at the weight too. Super feather, he looked unreal. So
big turnaround. It was hard because 5 weeks prior to that, Dana, he lost the tough fight. A lot of people thought it was too hard to do. Another 10-rounder 5 weeks later. Hope he has a little bit of a rest now because his training camp would have gone on for about 5 months. Constantly good crew no break. Too.
Him, Steve Pitt, and yeah.
So I saw Pity holding the pads for Lucas Brown in the dressing room. Pity nearly got his arm removed off when he was throwing.
Pity would
right
have been
hand.
The only one, the same only one height.
Tall enough to fucking hit him. Yeah,
yeah, that was a good fight though. He didn't look like he could be touched. So was that at Super Feather? So some good fights to be made there.
Yeah, mate, it was an exciting few weeks of boxing. We'll do another podcast before Christmas. Just want to thank everybody for listening. And we'll be back soon, Jacko. Maybe, February 19th, we've got a fight night coming up too.
We do.
That'll be your next fight. So we'll talk more about that hopefully next week. Thanks very much for listening to the GNJB show. We'll see you next week.
See you, White Axe.